This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every single Premier League match week. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and yes, we are back. After a little summer break, we are back in full-on Premier League mode and have you covered with everything you need to know before the 2022-23 campaign kicks off this weekend.
That's right, Musty. It all begins with Crystal Palace hosting Arsenal on Friday. Coverage begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Time live on USA. And because the Premier League is back, so is our viewers' chance to win $50,000. Play Premier League Pick'em for free and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. And listen, mate, we're going to start this, our first kind of preview of the 2022-23 season. And we're going to sort of break it into five different topics, different running questions and burning questions for fans and for us to discuss at the start of the season. But before we go down the Premier League route, I think we both have to doth our cap and say, it came home, my friend. The Lionesses put away decades of years of hurt, and Serena Wiegman and their team were magnificent at Wembley in front of 89,000 people at the stadium. I believe it was nearly 20 million people watched in the UK. A fabulous team, a fabulous performance, a fabulous result. And what I would like to hope, Musty, is this is the start of women's football being taken much more seriously now in England and in Europe, and that the money's there, the support's there, and that the young girls who were at Wembley, and there was many of them, as we saw in the crowd, can one day hope that they can be top-class professionals and earn a good living from the game, because this group of players, the Lionesses, and there's many players before them, Rob, deserve that opportunity now with what they've done.
It's amazing. We watched it here in the US. Couldn't wait to watch it. The scenes were incredible. All the emotions afterwards, Rob. And I think you're right. Well, I know you're right. I mean, all the young girls watching that, it will change football in England for girls and for ladies. I mean, it just absolutely will. It felt like a defining moment. We saw the backflip goal earlier on, you know, the winning goal, the shirt coming off. Yeah, it was spectacular. We saw the reaction in newspapers and the big deal, and rightly so, a big deal was made of this. I mean, they're European champions, and really, Rob, from a fairly, you know, it's been recently really that England's really started to progress in that national team, and now it's being the best in Europe. You know, the World Cup and all the best teams, of course, the US ladies are the benchmark, the gold standard, really. That leads for exciting times. I think actually the US and England, Rob, are trying to organise a game.
In October, they're trying to play a game, right. Which would be brilliant at Wembley Stadium. Be brilliant for English football and young girls and the growth of the game and where the game's come, Rob, you know. Gone are the days where people, I think, used to snigger and say, well, technically he's not that good, he's not that quick, and the goalkeepers. I'm telling you, Rob, the standard of football was outstanding.
I loved it.
It was a brilliant tournament. Brilliant tournament. And finally, we can say England won a major tournament. Well done, the Lionesses.
First time since 1966. Exactly. Well done. Okay, mate. So, as you said, we're going to kind of break this up. There's so much to talk about. There's so much stuff that went on in the summer. I mean, we're off the TV screens, but of course, every day we're looking at the news and checking what's going on. There's a lot going on. We're going to put it into five burning questions, okay, for this upcoming Premier League season. First question is, let's start at the very top. Who looks better heading into the season, Manchester City or Liverpool? And I'll let you, my friend, go and start wherever you want to start.
Well, who looks better? If you're answering the question in a very straight, what would the word be? Basic fashion, You might argue after a Community Shield that doesn't give that much of an indicator that Liverpool, but I would say that Manchester City start the season in good fashion. Why do I say that? They've won four of the last five Premier League titles. They've got a manager who absolutely sees the Premier League as a priority. And I know people are talking about the Champions League. It's a team that scored 99 goals last season. And what did they go and do? That was without a striker. They go and buy one of the best young strikers in the world, Erling Haaland, bring him into the camp. Calvin Phillips comes in for Fernandinho. Julian Alvarez is come in and looks to be a player already. So we saw good signs from him. You've got a manager with know-how. You've got a team that regardless of how the season goes, can start well and pick it up, can start badly and still catch people who set off. They're going to be the team to chase. They're going to be the team to jump above. Manchester City will, by next weekend, start the season in good shape. They go away to West Ham. It's not an easy place to go, certainly with David Moyes' team. But they, for me, Rob, are still going to be the team. As I said last year, and there was obviously times that Liverpool went close, as I said again, I still think they'll be Premier League champions this time next year.
I don't. I think Liverpool, I mean, you've got to just think back, Rob, to last season. I mean, yeah. 1 point, what? Mm-hmm. Last 20, it was a 20-minute section of the last 45 minutes.
Three goals in 6 minutes for City, right.
They are that close together. They're that tight. Now, absolutely. Let's just recap with the changes, Rob. You know, yeah. You talked about Haaland coming in. I want to talk about him a little bit in a minute based on a couple of games and what we saw in the Community Shield.
I know.
Calvin Phillips, great cover in that midfield area. Julian Alvarez, I think, could be a little secret weapon. Mm. I think we'll see a lot of him. But they lost Raheem Sterling to Chelsea. Yeah. They lost Gabriel Jesus to Arsenal. They lost Zinchenko to Arsenal. Mm. But Sterling and Jesus, Rob.
Fernandinho left as well, Rob, which is quite big as well.
He's left as well. Mm. But my point is, the Jesus and Raheem Sterling goals, 23 or 21, into my head, what they got last year. But not just that. That's two players to give a lot of flexibility to that front line. A lot of opportunity to rest players, to rotate. They're steady eddies. They're guaranteed goals. They're experienced players. Yes, they might have wanted a new challenge, and they've gone now. But I'm just, you know, of course, in Erling Haaland, that's the player that will get close to or not beat both of those sets of goals. Yeah. You've got to worry a little bit with the injury record of Ireland. He's had thigh, he's had hip flexor issues a little bit. Of course, he's young. He's still grown into that massive frame of his. But I guess the risk, Rob, of two players that can come in and do their thing to one player and a player that, again, I switch to the Community Shield, and before you and everybody else starts jumping on, it's one game, it's a Community Shield, he's rusty and young and everything else, I get that. And we don't take too much notice of the Community Shield. But just in terms of my doubts with this player, Rob, coming to Man City, they were twofold. Mm. I've just mentioned one of it about the injuries. And the second part was how he fits into this team. Now, he and I'm going to say all this, right? And of course, I know he scored two or three goals, right? He had two, at least two, almost sitter, one at the end. But there was a long periods of time where he's not seeing the ball. He's not getting involved in the build-up play. Man City are not a Liverpool, for example, that get the ball forward to those front three players as quick as they can. City are more patient. They go across the field a little bit more. They don't risk a ball over the top. They don't want to hit a percentage ball into a big striker that loves running in behind. They don't cross balls, my friend, when it's a good chance to cross balls. You've got a great header of the ball in there. Now, of course, I remember saying it on the pod towards the end of last season, talking about Haaland, their game will have to change to get the best out of him. And in that Community Shield, there was times where he stopped making runs because he knows the ball isn't coming. There isn't many crosses coming in. I mean, when it does get in there, he looks obviously incredibly dangerous. I spent the summer looking at his games. I watched all of his 50-odd goals of last year and the 80-something for Dortmund. I know what sort of finisher he is. I know what sort of play he wants. I know what kind of service he wants. And if City, to get the best out of him, let me put it this way, to get the best out of Erling Haaland for Manchester City, they're going to have to change the way they play, else he's not going to be involved much, particularly in games where teams pack it in, you know, against Liverpool with space running behind, and City never really played it very often. So What do you think? And again, listen, I'm not going crazy overboard on it, but it's something for you, I, and everybody to watch how City get him involved.
I hear you. And listen, you put up a strong argument in terms of numbers and maybe in terms of what we see in a Community Shield game. I trust in Pep, Rob. I think this time last season, you had your doubts about Jack Grealish. Not Jack Grealish the player, but how Jack Grealish fits. Is he part of it? It could be still an argument that City haven't still seen the best of Jack yet went on to win the title. There's no doubt there's going to have to be a slight adaption of City's game to get the best of Haaland. There's going to have to be adaption of Haaland's game to get become a great City player. But with his age, Rob, with his ability, with when you say teams packing and they want to go a little bit more direct, I think he gives them another option. I think he's a centre-forward that everyone's saying, well, they play with a false nine. You can't win it without a centre-forward. He is that guy. He might be in and out the team, Rob. I don't think he'll start every game. He's a youngster, still learning his trade. But he will get, if he plays in all competitions, in that team, he will get 30 goals in all comps. He'll get 30 goals all comps in that team, man. They make that many chances.
I know. And there's no question. He's a ruthless, flipping finisher.
There'll be days he'll get four goals in the Premier League. He'll be one of them. He'll score four.
Yeah. I think last thing on him, Rob, I think he needs to get fitter. I think it looked like a bit of an effort for him to make those runs. And again, it was a hot day. It's early. You know, we saw Darwin Nunez come on for Liverpool that we'll talk about in a second and look fresher, fitter, more involved, more active, got his opportunities. Yeah. And, you know, it's great, mate. We talked about false nines all last year. We're talking about real nines this year. And the conversation will always be who's going to score more goals out of these two young players. Where we're lucky is we're going to get to talk about and see every week two of the best young strikers on the planet playing in this amazing league. And these amazing teams, and there's no question, you know, that these two are going to be the standout teams again. Just last thing, Rob, before we forget on City, might they need? You know, we know about the Mark Cucurella from Brighton, or for people who didn't know, they've been trying to get Cucurella, a really bright left back, Spanish left back that they've been trying to get, but they won't pay £50 million, about $65 million that Brighton want. And it looks like Chelsea have agreed or getting close to that.
Yeah.
Any more additions needed for City, Rob? And let me get a quick take. I mean, we could talk forever, by the way, on all these things. But the reliance on Haaland now for those goals instead of, you know, Sterling and Jesus as being two options. Do you see that being an issue if they do rest Haaland? Is there enough attackers in there now without the other two gone?
I mean, listen, Jesus, and we'll talk about, looks like, I've always said I like him, gives you something. His goals are important. Sterling gets criticism, but if you look at his numbers are excellent. The wide players still, Rob, you look at it at the weekend, you know, you can start with Mahrez and you can have Jack Grealish and then you can bring in Foden, you can bring Bernardo Silva, you've got Alvarez. So you've got so many options. And so I just don't feel that Pep's team is going to be over-reliant. Of course, Haaland coming in, scoring goals is what's important. But I don't think... If he doesn't, you know, hit the ground running and be in brilliant form for the season, I don't think that stops Man City winning the title. I think we've seen that before. I think this team's going to... Kevin De Bruyne is as important as any one of these new players brought in.
It's a fair point,
he's a key. He becomes a key, mate.
Yeah, and he looks $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks fit, lean, amazing. So that's a very good point. That being said... A front line for Liverpool Football Club of Luis Diaz, Darwin Nunez, and Mo Salah. That's a pretty
not bad.
Essentially dynamic, fast, skillful, hungry, goal-scoring front three. And, you know, I know that midfield, maybe Liverpool fans might have wanted another midfield player in there at the club. Harvey Elliott is back again, fit. He's another option.
Fabio Carvalho looks a nice little player, Rob.
He looks a good player.
From pre-season.
Yeah. I think the business that they've done, I know Sadio Mane, of course, for people who have lived under a rock, maybe, that he's gone to Bayern Munich, a very important player. Divock Origi, talk about the supporting players that have left the club, like we talked about the City players. Yeah. Origi's gone to Milan. Minamino's gone to Monaco. And it seems like when you listen to Jurgen Klopp over the last couple of days, they kind of think they're done on the transfer side of things. But Darwin Núñez, Rob, I think is going to be a Liverpool fan's favourite. I thought he was very emotional. I think he reacted in the Community Shield with his goal. The shirt came off. He was lively. He was quick. I think somebody mentioned on social media, kind of, wow, this guy looks like a Fernando Torres, the way he moves and his speed and his, you know, early days of Torres. So, of course, super early. Got a little bit of stick first couple of games. We missed some chances. But I think he's going to be a revelation. I think he's going to get a ton of chances. And again, I've looked at a ton of his goals over the last couple of seasons. That's a pretty that's a pretty good front line, Rob, where he's managed to freshen up again from last season.
Well, Rob, I looked at it and thought, wasn't long ago when it was Mane, Salah and Bobby Firmino, and that was the three, mate. And in the space of 18 months, he's turned that around to, you say, as Diaz come in, was outstanding. Núñez, book support, can play in a number of positions. I saw him playing in he can either play in a wide position, he can play in a centre position. So he's versatile. Let's remember Firmino's still at the football club.
And he's got a good pre-season. He's got a good pre-season.
And Diogo Jota, mate, just signed a new contract there into 2027. Yep. So as a front, you know, as five attacking players, depending on the game, depending on the situation, depending on the competition, that's pretty useful all around. Now, when you asked me at the start, say who's in better looking into the season. If I'm in Liverpool Football Club, I'm thinking what you said. I think it's our year, and I think they should think that, because if I'm in that camp with what they've got, I'll look around there, Rob. Now they've got this. They're starting to get the depth of Manchester City.
Yeah.
Yes, midfield might not, but you've got Thiago, you've got Fabinho, you've got Hendo, you've got Milner who can go in there. You've got Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, Carvalho. That ain't bad. You look at the fullback positions, and we've already talked about them. That, you know, they've got brilliant cover. Across the back too now, you know, Kanute is going to keep growing. Matip, Van Dijk, Gomez, goalkeeper who didn't play at the Champions League with the reserve Kelleher. I mean, that's a pretty deep squad, mate.
Yeah. I just think when you look back, and trying to summarise it all now, I look at the transfer deals, the options, and there was one point dip. There's hardly anything in it.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit more risk with what City have done with allowing Sterling to leave and Jesus to leave and bringing in Haaland that we agree he's going to score a ton of goals. Mm. But I just got a few more question marks over them compared to Liverpool. So for that reason, with that tiny gap, I've got to just favour Liverpool to win title next year. We've got some odds here, my friend. Shall I go over the odds?
Yeah.
The odds makers think. So PointsBet Sportsbook odds to win the Premier League title are Man City are favourites at -154, Liverpool at +275, and Tottenham are the third team listed on here as +1200, and Chelsea are +1400, Arsenal +2800, and Manchester United are +2800. But I mean, wow. I mean, two clubs, Rob, the standout teams that have made little tweaks. It's the return of the number nine. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see how both of these clubs adjust themselves to their new players. And again, I just think City have got a little bit more adjusting to do than Liverpool in terms of their new front man.
Yeah, well, we'll agree to disagree on that one. I slightly go for City just because of their know-how and whether it's been it's a point or 10 points, they've finished ahead and got it done. Liverpool, as you say, should have all the confidence in the world, should look around that dressing room. And I don't know, Jurgen Klopp looks rejuvenated. The players look hungry and at it and like they really want to go.
Salah's settled.
Jota's signed and settled. The manager's in a good place. Yep. You know, a lot of good things. Look forward to Liverpool. Yep. Let's see how it goes.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, my friend, so we've answered question one. Let's get to question two. Which of the big six can best challenge for the title?
I'll go first, shall I?
Yeah, here you go.
Well, the answer to that is Tottenham Hotspurs. Spurs are the team.
Really?
Absolutely. No question.
What, they can challenge the title?
Well, who's best to challenge?
Challenge for the title.
So who's the best of the rest of those front two that can get up there? Well, I think Tottenham are, Rob. Given what they've done, and let's just go through those signings. Richarlison from Everton.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how I feel about him.
Yeah.
Worker, animal, scorer, relentless, emotional, fit as a fiddle, never gets injured, very rarely gets injured. Good signing, covering that front, the front area of the team. Yves Bissouma. I know that you're a fan of him. I'm a fan of Yves Bissouma.
Love him.
From Brighton and Hove Albion. Lonier, the centre-back from Barcelona, I think he's a left-sided centre-back.
Yeah.
He has had a great season with Barcelona. You know, that's not amazing, I don't think. I do think they needed somebody for left-sided centre-back. Ben Davis, for me, isn't the guy. But anyway, Ivan Perisic from Inter Milan. Now, I know he's like 33 or something. I haven't got his age here. But, I mean, Conte knows all about him from Inter Milan. I've seen him play a million times. Talented, a worker, skillful, final ball. We'll play left wing back. We've been playing it in pre-season. Jed Spencer, player from my old team, Middlesbrough, that maybe is the one. I don't think he's going to start, but he's there putting pressure on Doherty or whatever at right back. People that left, Steven Bergwijn went to Ajax. So that's you know, you've got to think that that's strengthened the first 11 and how they got better last year for Spurs. You know, we know they've got Champions League football. Richarlison's a good signing. Bissouma's a good signing. Perisic, these players are going to get in the team and play. I mean, maybe Richarlison might have to be a bit patient.
That's what I was going to ask you about, Richarlison. With Kulusevski, Kane and Son, where does he start? For all the good things he's saying, is he depth? And that's important. Depth's important.
It's really important, Rob. And we know, like, this season's going to be different, by the way. And we can wrap all this preview up in this five subs.
Five subs is
different.
Yeah.
So it's not really worth us saying where is he going to play in the team, because things are going to change all the time. Both in the game and for the next game. So Kane will take a rest. Son will play up front. Richarlison will play left. Kulusevski will take a break.
I
know what you mean. But I think this year with these subs and stuff, he adds. He's going to add goals. He adds options. He's going to make other players have rest to feel fresher. Full preseason for Conte.
Conte,
With what that brings, with his physicality, with his team shape, with his shadow play, good signings. Finally, Daniel Levy is backing a manager with what he wants.
Yeah.
We know what these two, the director of football and Conte, have done before at Juventus. So that's why, also given we'll go on and talk about the other teams in this group, group of four, I think Spurs are best placed to push those front two.
I don't disagree, but I still think there's a big big gap, Rob. Defensively, I'm still not convinced. They lost 11 games last season, by far the most up there. Started, you know, a bit of a run, got things together towards the end of the season. Yes, the form is good. Enjoyed Conte. Talk about Chelsea in a little while, and I spent a little bit of time there. Some of the staff there talked about Antonio Conte and what he's like and how demanding and how driven and how he can get players on side and get them doing what he wants. A lot of good things coming out of the Chelsea camp when Conte was there, but once it turned sour very quickly with him, the players and the football club. You know, you look at Chelsea and you're saying, I think there's a bit of a London fight for third, fourth and fifth place. And I'm going to put Chelsea, Spurs and Arsenal in that fight. Are Chelsea good enough to get ahead of, are Spurs good enough to get ahead of Chelsea and get closer to the top two? I think the first part, getting ahead of Chelsea, I think there's a chance. I still don't see them, Rob, being consistent enough, being defensive enough, being resolute enough as to really challenge the top two. So when we say challenge it for a title, I don't think Chelsea can. Can Chelsea finish third? Spurs finish third? Yes, I believe they can. Can they challenge the top two? I don't think so.
But you still believe that Chelsea are better placed to challenge the front two than Spurs are? You think Chelsea finish above Spurs?
No, there's sorry. 3 points down. Yes, I think Spurs this year will finish above Chelsea. Sorry. But I don't think they'll get close to challenging the top two.
No.
I think there's still a big difference between where Spurs are with their signings and what they've done, but where Liverpool and Manchester City are.
Let's go to Chelsea, Rob, because you said you spent some time with them. Yeah. Let's go over the deals. Raheem Sterling from Man City. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant pickup for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Kalidou Koulibaly from Napoli is a beast of a defender. Plug and play, mate. Your phrase. Plug and play.
He's ready to play.
Brilliant centre back.
Yeah.
You've got Conor Gallagher that's back from Crystal Palace. You've got Amanda Brozier back on loan, went out on loan at Southampton. Mm. Of course, players that left, Romelu Lukaku. Did go back to Inter Milan on loan. I think his career at Chelsea is over. Antonio Rudiger went to Real Madrid on a free transfer. That's a big blow. They lost Christensen to Barcelona. And Saul, enough said. And it looks like, by the way, they're on the brink of getting Mark Cucurella from Brighton as a left back. So ins and outs, Todd Bowley, the new owner, to be fair to him, mate, he's hit the ground running. He's chairman, he's interim director of football.
Yeah.
He's trying to buy a million players. He's trying to make statements, and he's done it with two good players in Koulibaly and Raheem Sterling. But he wants others. He's hungry for other players. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's been turned down with some other players, and he's not worked on some. But I kind of admire a guy that's like he's gone straight at it.
Mm.
And also, Rob, last comment before I let you get in. Think about the turmoil, the transition at Chelsea.
Yeah,
the chairman Bruce Buck and Granit Xhaka, the director of football, the brilliant director. Petr Cech, there's been a big, big turnover at the board level, then in the hierarchy, and he's just coming to terms with trying to get players. Tuchel wants more players. Mm. Tuchel, the other day, Rob, after that game where they got beat against Arsenal, there's so much to talk about, isn't there? You know, his words saying that I'm worried about whether we're going to be ready for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's why, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're a bit anxious for me when they start the season this weekend.
You are. I'll talk a little bit about Chelsea. I spent a couple of days with them. They trained at the UCLA University campus ahead of the games that they were playing in Vegas, in Charlotte, and I think in Florida against Arsenal. Spent some time with the team, sat down with Tuchel, had a good half an hour with Tuchel. Yeah, Tuchel's one of them, Rob, like sits down and says, I've got a couple of minutes. And then for 20 minutes, he's like Pep. Once he gets going, he's into it.
That wasn't a recorded NBC thing.
It wasn't recorded. Just him sitting down, no camera, just letting it go. So,
tell us.
Brilliant man. Talked initially about last season and how his job was to focus the football. And he said, we put ourselves in a bubble in the training ground and we let everything else be going on in the world. And obviously, they were aware of the difficult circumstances. But the only thing that he could do was get the football right. And he said that was his focus. And I, said after, from where we sat, we thought we did a brilliant job of that as manager of the football club. He talked about Rob, and I'll talk culturally about the change. And it's absolutely not a slight on Roman Abramovich, but he talked about how Todd Bowley's come in as just a very different personality to Roman Abramovich. Abramovich, is quite unemotional even when you're winning and quite cold and quite businesslike. But this guy's a hugger and Todd Bowley's a hand over here and very, wants to talk and wants to introduce you to all his family and all his friends. And Tuchel was I want to get on the football now, But he said the one thing that Bowley said is he wants to make his manager happy. He said he'll give him 4 or 5 signings, Rob, this window that make Chelsea better. Four or five. And he said he started pretty well because he's got me Sterling and he's got me Koulibaly. Now, they missed out on Koundé. And he said there's 2 or 3 more to come. This was his words before the windows. That's what the owners promised him. And he was saying, we should be ready. Now, when this was 2.5 weeks, nearly 3 weeks into pre-season. And I've got to tell you, Rob, when you're watching training that, God, they weren't half at it, Chelsea. They weren't half fit. They weren't off putting it around a little bit.
When does correlate to the game, Rob? That game where
this was the Monday and Tuesday ahead of the weekend game. Now I don't know if it was one of them where they were doing some big sort of sessions and hard work twice a day. They're in the morning and afternoon. I don't know if it's one of those leggy ones what catches up with you. I'm not sure if it's one of those where the system he hasn't quite worked out. Really interesting chat with one of his assistants, Rob, who was fascinating to talk to. Gave us really good insight into how they like to play the 4-stroke floating five. Yeah. So if that's Reece James, Hakim Ziyech or Azpilicueta as the wide guy can go in into midfield but become a five when they want to.
Yeah.
And he thinks that's how they're going to play this year.
So
he needs the legs around Thiago Silva, who he said is a master defender, organizer defender, but he's got to have the legs. And he said, you know, obviously they've lost Rudiger and Christiansen. So he looked a bit of a beast as well. Saw, by the way, played in a couple of training games and was doing a bit of running. If things don't work out, don't despise of him. Or there was a kid, I think his name might be Seymour, went out on to loan at Huddersfield. Young 21-year-old midfield player was training with the first team, Rob. Cool. Didn't awfully look good as well. And the other last thing I say with Tuchel, he talked about Conor Gallagher could have a big influence on the team this season. He just said he brings that something dynamic
different.
That changes
Very
us.
Very different.
It the changes scorer. The way we play, but changes the speed of their attacks, Rob. If there's one thing about Chelsea at times, sometimes the attacks can be a little bit slow and laboured. His running and his ability to go with the ball just changes the whole pace of it. And Mason Mount, I spoke to, talked about that. Be interesting how they play, Rob. Is Havertz going to be the main guy, or are they going to get a number nine? And that seems to be a big issue with them. But listen, I don't think they'll be too far away. I get that results haven't gone great in pre-season. Pre-season is one thing. I get that there's still a lot of work to do in terms of bringing the right people in. But this team, this manager, this football club knows what it's doing and won't be too far off the top four. I think they'll still be top four. I just feel that Spurs might have a little bit more with Conte getting them fired up this time around.
Well maybe, Rob, it comes back. That's great stuff, by the way. It's always great, isn't it, to speak to the blooming the guys themselves.
It's gold stuff, mate. It's gold.
It's gold because all of the stuff you hear and all that. Yeah, it may be like those signings. It's obvious that Todd Bowley's trying to get stuff and get some headline signings. That's interesting. They're still going to try and get another two or three in the last. I mean,
the window
goes right through to the end of August.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Rob, on Chelsea to finish up on them is the striker. You know, we know that Lukaku's gone.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz has been a player that, like, come on, show us, you know, be consistent. He's done that in moments, but not enough moments.
Yeah.
It looks like Timo Werner wants to leave the club. It looks like Marcos Alonso wants to leave the club. There's a few. I think Hakim Ziyech's not happy now, Rob. And that's what Tuchel was talking about. You know, we have a problem with players that want to leave, trying to get people in. Armando Broja, Robbie Earl, all for stay at the club. Let him, if they don't get another number nine, better than the two they've got in Broja and Havertz, let Broja have a go. Let him have a go, because I'm really confident with time. And you will get a ton of time and patience, but a little bit of patience.
Yeah.
His heart, his abilities, his youth, his hunger. He might get a few goals. I'm not saying he's going to be the answer, but they're not going to sell him. Don't send him on loan. Keep him at the club.
The only thing I would say, mate, and I totally agreed with you, and he was one of them I was really looking forward to see, that just talking on Chelsea, they had 32 players with them on tour. That didn't include Kante and Loftus-Cheek, who hadn't been vaccinated, couldn't travel. So that's 34 plus others. Broja was one of them, Rob. And I'm looking and, you know, you're watching and saying, my eyes unfortunately told me, not quite. Do you know when there's a level, when the ball's popping around and the big boys are knocking it now, at times he didn't quite look at that level. Now, it's no disrespect to him at 21 years of age, because he's got so much to come. But, you know, he's bumping around and the angles are right and that
extra level.
It was the little times he takes an extra touch, it slowed it down. He didn't see the pass. Just a couple of things made me think, okay, he might need another loan. He might need another year or two.
Okay.
But it was really interesting to watch. And those are the things you can't tell on a TV screen.
I know.
No,
that's brilliant, mate.
Really
that's
interesting.
So interesting. And you do learn stuff like that. And we can never watch training like that. So to be there and to see him operate on that level is super interesting. So that's Chelsea. So we'll see. That's some really good insight there, mate. Okay, so next club in this group is Arsenal.
Arsenal.
I got to say, like, I'm excited for Arsenal.
I'm excited.
I think the Gabriel Jesus thing made us so much sense, because kind of rumours were a long time before the deal happened.
Yeah.
My only thought was, is he going to play a nine? Is he better in a wide position? Mikel Arteta, of course, has worked with him before at Man City, and he's going to be a nine. He's been a nine in pre-season. This team has been at it over the last, I guess, 2 weeks. The results have been strong, Rob. and he has been banging in goals for fun. Another young player, hungry, maybe a bit of a point to prove. I think is an excellent signing. Just on the signings, also Alexander Zinchenko, they got from City as well to compete at left back, because we know that Kieran Tierney is very injury prone, it seems. Fabio Vieira, a creative midfield player from Porto, Rob has brought in. Matt Turner, of course, from New England Revolution, goalkeeper is there. And Lacazette's the only notable departure. Arsenal are looking good, and they're getting, and this is what I said before the season finished, they need to carefully add to this squad, add some quality to try and make the first 11 a little better. And I think they've done it this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rob, you think of what last season start with Aubameyang and Lacazette, and not sure what you're going to get, not sure what the attitude is, or the training going to be like. You know, this you've got Odegaard, you've got Saka, you've got Martinelli, you've got Smith Rowe, you've got Jesus, who's going to fit into that group perfectly. He's going to feel like he's a man. He's a number nine now, mate. No, there was no, for me, there's no doubt playing out there, because it's City. There's Aguero, there's the false nine, there's Foden, there's Grealish, there's all the. He in this team, Rob, has got a little outside chance for a golden boot winner. Let me tell you, in this team, he's going to get chances. They're going to make chances for a centre forward in this team. And I'm excited for them. And what pleases me is that they've got a style of play now that we're starting to see from. This is taking a little time, but Mikel Arteta has now developed a style of play with and without the ball. We've seen that system where, you know, the two push up from midfield, the wide players come in narrow and help the midfield out at times, and the 10 goes forward and goes in if they're going to press. We know what they're going to do with the ball, work out, get the overlapping fullbacks when they come from the wide positions. It just feels like this is a really exciting time for Arsenal. They've got a shot for top four, mate. They've got a shot for top four. They shouldn't be thinking anywhere out of... They've got a chance to get back to Champions League football now. Obviously, European football is going to be a bit of a hindrance to them. I don't know how much that's going to be. But when I look at this group, when I look at what they've learned, if they can have learnings from what parts of what last season were, this team could be a surprise package.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think the only centre-back, Rob, still... What worries me a little bit, I know Ben White's been playing right back. And Zinchenko's been playing left back, and you've still got Gabriel there. I'd like to see him bring in a better centre back in, but no, I think the way they've been going pre-season, and they've come through some rough moments, Rob, and I think for young players, they need to experience that and take a few knocks on the chin and learn a little bit. And they're really grooved in the way that this midfield kind of it changes from possession to out possession. They have this little diamond going on, which I'm sure they'll do again. But no, I'm with you. I'm gonna go through. I'll let you know my third to sixth in a second after we get to our last team. But no, I think Arsenal, what they've done now, built on a steady progression, is pretty impressive. You know, pretty impressive what they've done. And of course, there's no more issues at the club. It's a young squad, mate. It's a very, very young squad.
And they opened the day on the Friday night. Remember last season, Friday night at Brentford? Not a good day.
Not a good start.
At Stellers Park, we've got an interesting game at Stellers Park on Friday night, mate.
Absolutely.
Patrick Vieira involved in the Arsenal team. Let's move it to the team that we have to talk about. Manchester United, new manager at Ten Hag, sixth place last season, 58 points. Disappointing from all angles, from all areas of the football club. Certain amount of movement in and out of the football club. Some biggish names, some names who've been at the football club a while have left. Paul Pogba being as big as they go. One or two players have come in. Is it Malacia, this left back, Martinez, the centre back?
Yeah, Christian Eriksen.
Eriksen came on a free, didn't he? Obviously,
From Brentford, Christian Eriksen, Tyrell Malacia from Feyenoord, Lissandro Martinez from Ajax. They're the three notable, I guess, notable signings and departures. Pogba, Jesse Lingard to Forest on a free. Nemanja Matic, Dean Henderson to Forest on a loan. Edison Cavani gone. Juan Mata gone. Okay, so I think there's a couple of angles here, Rob. First of all, you know, I think Erik ten Hag, what we've seen and what's been reported and interviews, etc., looks like he's approaching the job in the right way.
Very good. Very good, Rob. I've liked it. Yeah. I love some of the training stuff and getting into the players and talking about what he wants. It's exactly what a coach has to do.
Okay, so there's that. So I think that he's ticked the boxes there. He's looked like a bit of a tough ass, which is exactly what the club needs.
Absolutely.
But then there's the recruitment. There's the recruitment. Mm. There's the Frankie de Jong saga.
Which is an embarrassment, mate.
If you're a Man United fan, Rob, and you've seen all these front players we've talked about, some of the other clubs and strikers and new wide players and exciting this, that and the other, and you're a Man United where you're in desperate, desperate need of a striker or young forwards, and that's your list, Martinez, you know, I think a decent ball-playing centre-back, Malacia, a left-back that's going to compete with Luke Shaw and Christian Eriksen, who's a brilliant player, but he's not going to change your life, your season at Manchester United. Talented, amazing story. Isn't it disappointing that the dealings, Rob, with John
wasn't this part of the worry that has been put on Manchester United over the last couple of years? Regardless of who you put in that hot seat, if they're not supported with the right recruitment, with the right people bringing the right kind of players to the football club, you're going to find yourself in a similar position. And it's hard to see how Manchester United, you know, my headline is, you know, mind the gap. It was a 25-point gap, I think, to City, who were top of the table. I mean, Manchester United have got, you know, top four is success for Manchester United. Getting Champions League football would be a huge success. Now, I have heard Robin watch a couple of games. Anthony Martial in pre-seasons looked a little bit better. Jadon Sancho is probably developing under a new manager. Marcus Rashford might be feeling like this is a second start for him in the red of Manchester United. You know, some of those players who were underperforming under other managers, we might see something better, and that might be a positive. I'm trying to help Manchester United fans here, mate. Yeah. I'm trying to stay with them.
No, I think there was a positive feeling about him coming in. He starts his job really early. He comes in early, gets the players in early.
Yeah.
The message is right. You know, there's a bit of frustration with the players and the market, which has now turned into, God, this is disappointing. Now, I know there's there's 30-odd days left. I mean,
a lot can happen,
to try and make. But there hasn't been a great success on that. And the Frankie de Jong thing, a player that is a brilliant player, but clearly doesn't want to come to Manchester United. They're not giving up on him. And I don't know how much energy they're using for that. So there was positivity, frustration with the market, and then the big cloud comes over the football club with Cristiano Ronaldo, the outstanding star player, suddenly announces that he wants to leave the club. And now this standoff, he came with his agent, George Mendes, wasn't it, last week to the United, saying he wants to leave. Now, what I would say is, and it's difficult, Rob, right, because what you read is that his family, there's personal issues with the family. We know what happened with his partner. They lost a baby, one of the twins. So we understand that. Is that a part of why he wants to leave the football club? Maybe some of it. I'm sure he wants to break records at Champions League and wants to play in the Champions League. Mm. He signed a 2-year contract. And for as far as I know, there's no clause in there saying if you don't play Champions League football, I can leave. He basically wants to jump away from the ship, jump ship. I want to go and break some records. But nobody else
is calling time on it. Yeah, he's calling time on it. The teams that he'd want to go, doesn't seem like too many of them are stepping up. It's becoming another kind of bad luck for United. Yeah, again. Exactly what the manager doesn't need, Rob. A new manager going in, breathing fire, getting things going, setting standards for the players. Cristiano Ronaldo, and I've been one of them who stuck by him, Rob, and complimentary of what he can do and what he can offer to the football club beyond his goals. If he doesn't want to be there, Rob, time to let him go.
Yeah.
Time to let him go. And I know some might say, well, he's a United player, he's on contract. He's too big a player. there's too much to sort out to have an unhappy Cristiano Ronaldo lurking around the football club, yeah, causing your kind of problems. As you say, give me the biggest shadow you could have. And every time that he doesn't play and they don't score, it's about him. Or if he does play and score, it's too much. If he's there and he's the influence that we've seen in the past season, brilliant bit of business, keep him at the football club, he's an asset. If he's mindset on leaving and whether these personal issues or he just wants to play Champions League or an ambition of what he wants to do in the last few years of his career, time to cut loose, Rob. There's no one bigger than Manchester United. No. I'm sorry.
Absolutely right. I mean, we knew that, we thought that his goals would be valuable in this second season of his contract. But if he's going to have a face on and if he, it's a new manager, there's a sense of newness about this.
Yeah.
And I was one for him to stay because of those goals, because of what he could teach some of the younger players. But if this is going to be the situation, it's time for him to leave. And I read a really nice piece by, it was Henry Winter, Rob, in the UK Times newspaper, basically saying, it's time for the Ronaldo roadshow, to move on, to move out of town, go somewhere else. The club needs to kind of take a breath, try and rebuild a little bit. It's the last thing that Erik ten Hag wants. And absolutely, I just wonder, Rob, right? I just wonder. And this is where it's difficult for us to have a real sense of things, because I wonder if the Football Club United all along have said to him, yeah, okay, if we can find a deal, find the right club, yeah, you can go. They've said, a couple of times, he's part of the plans. We want him to stay, stay on the right side of the fans, maybe, who don't want to hear the manager say, oh, yeah, we don't want him to stay, because they want him. So he's trying to say the right things. But behind the scenes, are they saying to Ronaldo and his guy, listen, you find the right deal and, you can move on. So
it's not a particularly good way of handling their business. Well, but the whole thing is getting toxic, is starting, getting to the start of a new season with a new manager who's trying to breathe new life into a football club. If you've got an old, aging superstar but just doesn't want to be a football club, time to move him on, Rob. Yeah. Time to move him on and start afresh. Listen, I read somewhere, it's 10 years, isn't it, coming up this season since they last won the title? It's time to move on, mate. They got to start closing this gap with people who want to be at the football club.
Yeah, and they got to try and find a new... I don't know who's going to play up front for them. I don't know, but yeah.
Anthony Martial, the second coming of Anthony Martial. God.
Second, third or fourth coming. Okay, so the PointsBet Sportsbook odds to finish in the top four. Man City, 10,000. Now we know that. Liverpool, 1,000. Yeah. These are all minus numbers. Spurs, minus 167. Chelsea, minus 134.
Yeah.
Arsenal, plus 135. And Man United, plus 175. So I'm going with this. And why not go with positions? I'm going for Spurs in third.
Yeah,
I'm going for Arsenal in fourth. I'm going for Chelsea in fifth, and I'm going for Manchester United in sixth place, with the right to reserve that if there's significant signings between now and the end of the window.
If Ronaldo stays, so I'm going Spurs in third. Chelsea remain Champions League players in fourth. Arsenal fifth. Man United sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think Chelsea's football know-how will get them a Champions League spot. But listen, Arsenal could well challenge him for that position in the Champions League. But that's how we see the top six.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
So let's move on to question number three. Which club will make the most noise outside the big six? And we've got kind of a number of clubs here, the likes of a West Ham, a Leicester City, and Newcastle United, who had a great second half to the season. So I'll let you open up with West Ham, mate. Where do you think David Moyes and his team finished seventh last season, got you up in football? What do you think from David Moyes' team? That's two seven finishes now for Moyes and West Ham.
Well, I think given the clubs that you just mentioned, Rob, I think West Ham will make the most noise outside the big six. I think they will. You know, I think we've both enjoyed what they've done over the past couple of seasons under David Moyes. Gianluca Scamacca from
Scamacca.
I had a bit of a deep dive on this guy when I when I heard he's signed for West Ham United. Very interesting story, Rob. I think he's a 6'4", 6'5", centre-forward, young player. Had a brilliant season last year. I think 16 Serie A goals, the most he's ever scored in a campaign like that, in a league campaign. A player that has been touted for big, big things.
Yeah, right, PSG were in, weren't they? PSG in for him, there was talk, wasn't there?
Was there?
Well, PSG were interested in him. Somebody said to me he's a bit like a Harry Kane type, a big Harry Kane, can score different goals, can play outside the box, can drop deeper and make the play as well as be at the top and score the goals.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a ton of his goals, and he's got a brilliant strike. He's got a great strike for a big guy.
Yeah.
Of course, his height is going to score headed goals as well. It's just, you know, this is a big, I guess it's a big step up at football club, Rob. And somebody that was, it's one of them, Rob, that's like touted of being the next best thing, the next Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
And then, oh, maybe not. A few bad performances. Oh, not. And then is he? And then, oh, not. But because he's had such a good season with Sassuolo last year, West Ham has thought, you know what, we're going to go for it. And it's an interesting one. I think you're right. I think PSG and a few others kind of late, scrambled around. Well, maybe we can get him. But fair play to West Ham. They've looked for a striker for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Mikel Antonio has been the only guy up there, Rob. And may, you know, Scamacca might take a little bit of time to settle. I think he's 23, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting, another new number nine for the Premier League.
Absolutely.
You know, he's one of them guys. He's going to be a fan favorite. He's a big, tall guy. He's got tattoos all over the place. Mm. Short haircut. You know, he's aggressive in the way he plays. I'm looking forward to see him play. Nayef Aguirre from Rennes is a new centre-back. I think he's got an injury.
He's the one who's got the injury, hasn't he? He's done an ankle ligament. But, supposed to be well-fancied, played in France and supposed to be good centre in the back, air.
What they've needed.
Because they've needed both ends of the pitch, West Ham. Decent centre-back, decent centre-forward.
Flynn Downs is a Swansea player. And then, of course, Mark Noble retired and Andrei Yarmolenko has left the club as well. So not a ton, as you'd expect with David Moyes' teams, but I kind of like that he hasn't needed that much. He's got some good players there. He'll keep them hungry. And Scamacca is one of those players for everybody to watch out what he might do in the Premier League.
Yeah, as ever with David Moyes' teams, you know, they'll be well set up. They've, you know, centre-forward, if Aguerd can get himself back fit in the team and Scamacca up front with now you can play, you know, all those, the Bowens and the players, Antonio even can play from a wider position or a deeper position. They still goal set there. So expect more the same from West Ham. Leicester City, Rob, that's an interesting one. Finished eighth last season, had a good run towards the end of the season. No real business seemingly done so far this season. Ademola Lookman has left the football club, gone to Leipzig after season-long loan. It seems to me, Robin, over the last couple of days, it's becoming more apparent that Leicester City seem to be emptying the barrel. In fact, that Schmeichel's had a medical at Nice. He's on his way. He's talked about Madison going to Newcastle. He's linking the Fofana to Chelsea. Tielemans has been in and out or going or not over the course of the summer with Arsenal. Bit of a worry if you're a Leicester fan. The Foxes right now seemingly, I'm not quite sure what the tactic is here, Rob, week before the season.
I think we all liked, you know, with my boys and stuff, we looked like, what's Leicester doing? Like, Leicester haven't signed anybody. Like, it's like, wow, what's going on? And then, of course, Brendan Rodgers, Rob, I think yesterday, gave a big interview and they've got to balance the books. So Leicester City Football Club have got some little financial problems. I don't know if it's financial fair play or whatever it is, but they've got to balance the books. And that all of a sudden, the big clubs are like, oh, ears pricked up because they've got some good talent there.
Plenty of talent.
And that's going to be a problem. I think Kasper Schmeichel is a little different. He's been there such a long period of time. Yeah. I get it. He wants a fresh challenge and stuff. Still a very, very good goalkeeper. That's going to be a
influential as well, Rob, in the dressing room. Yeah.
But if they lose Wesley Fofana, who I think is... Brendan Rodgers said Robbie's going to be one of the best centre backs in the world, and I'm like, wow, it's a big statement. But I don't mind it, that statement, because I think he's an incredibly talented player. Had a big injury problem last year. Yeah. And Chelsea, I think, might get him.
Good
Chelsea
business. Might yeah, get be good business.
Him. I think it's like £85 million, which is a massive fee. But he's very, very good.
And he's very young, mate. You've got plenty of football.
He's very young. He can play. He's a flipping Rolls Royce in the making. Yeah. Again, there's work to be done, but I love the look of Wesley Fofana. James Maddison, Rob's going to go.
Yeah. Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah, but who was going to get him before that? Or was it just just Newcastle. They're going to pay, was it 50 million? They're going to try and get him. So it's Leicester City batting down the hatches. Like you're going to have to lose some of your talent if you've got to balance the books. And I think that's a bit of a, you know, I think that's a, I don't know, that's a statement from the manager, Rob. All of a sudden, wow. Okay, they've got a financial issue.
Let's go in there and try and... basically, the vultures are out, aren't they? Once the vultures start circling, you're bang in trouble. And let's not forget, this is a Leicester City team that last season many thought might break into the top four, won the FA Cup, having won the FA Cup and finished fifth. And you know, this season, I've had a struggle. Remember the amount of goals they were conceding from corners? And I know they had injuries and one or two players weren't available. Vardy was out for a spell, for Fofana certainly, and Evans at the back. But could be a tough season this for Brendan, and keeping the morale. And it's a crowd that are used to better things, are used to, you know, at least upsetting some of those big boys and challenging around that top six spot. So we'll have to see what happens, who stays, who might come in for Leicester City, and, you know, real test of Brendan Rodgers and his managerial ability. So, not quite sure how much noise that Leicester will be making. Newcastle United, Rob's an interesting one. Finished 11th last season, 49 points. They've made a lot of signings in the January window with the likes of Chris Woods and Target and Bruno Guimaraes came in and players who made a difference for them in the January window. Not done that much business in this window. Nick Pope's come in, who I think is very good signing from Burnley. Yeah. Sven Botman is a good get, actually, for Newcastle as type of centre-back that they've been desperate for over a number of years. He's come in from Lee. Matt Target's been made permanent. Maybe not some of the headline signings we thought with this team and the amount of money in the war chest that we thought that Eddie Howe could do, but I've actually quite liked the steady progress and steady ways looking to build this, mate.
Yeah, I think so. I think to be fair, I think the financial fair play regulations, they have to be careful of that. I think they're tiptoeing around that, Rob, in terms of, I don't think they haven't ramped up their revenues yet because of this new rule that was passed by the Premier League clubs where, I don't want to get into it too much, open a can of worms, but like sponsorship deals that are linked to the owners are going to be limited. Like the Saudi, you know, the basically a kind of Saudi PIF fund sponsorships by other companies kind of linked to them. So there's a clamp down that which might be hurting them, but also for financial fair play. I think James Maddison would be the marquee headline signing if they could get him. I think the Toon fans would love James Maddison to go to that club to link up with Bruno Guimaraes, who that we both saw live and look really, really great. Botman, as you said, is going to be a good centre-back. So I think we all thought there was going to be more spending. I thought there's going to be more spending. I thought there'd be a bit more pushing the boundary of the financial fair play. Like, we'll deal with that, but we want him, we want him. So I don't know how much is of what you say, very careful evolution or change, or how much it's been. Well, we can't really because, you know, this regulation and that financial situation. So I think we all like to see more get a Newcastle United, and maybe there's plenty of time left in this window. They're 3 points behind Leicester City, Rob, who are in eighth, and that will be the target for Newcastle for this season. They'll want to finish
top eight.
which isn't easy to do, but there might be more signings. Maybe they're just hanging fire a little bit towards the end of the window, but Maddison will be big for them. But Newcastle, just you feel like they could and they should do more. Not a ton as yet.
So we probably, on reflection, maybe West Ham's the team that can probably make the most noise of those three teams outside of the big six. Question four, mate, and this is the other side. Which of the disappointing clubs who didn't quite achieve all that they maybe should have done last season will have a rebound this season? Which are the clubs? And we've kind of got Aston Villa, Everton and Leeds as the three clubs here who maybe didn't certainly didn't finish the season in the manner they would have liked. Leeds, you know, in the end, they did enough to stay up, as did Everton. Aston Villa kind of trailed off a little bit for Stevie G, finishing 14th last season. We know they've got ambitious owners and it's a very ambitious club. What are your thoughts on Villa and Stevie G?
Quiet window. They have a quiet window, Rob. I mean, we've...
Did business early, didn't they? Did a bit of business early.
Yeah, Diego Carlos, I think he's a very experienced centre-back from Sevilla. Will make them better. We know that Steven Gerrard, he said it on our set, pitch side, that he was going to make changes defensively. I think the important thing as well, or a big thing came out last week, where John McGinn is going to be the new captain of Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And when asked about it, Steven Gerrard, and that's what I like about him so far, he basically answered the question. Well, you know, he just said, John McGinn's is brilliant on the field. He's great outside of it. Obviously, he said, I've had to have a conversation with Tyrone Mings, and I've told him, this allows you to concentrate on your job as being the best centre-back you can be. So, there you go.
That's a little rattle, isn't it? That's a proper little rattle.
Yeah, you can do better, and I'm going to take the captaincy off you and to see if you can, with the addition of Diego Carlos and others at the club. Tyrone Mings is right under pressure a little bit. And Philip Coutinho is a permanent signing. What else? Kind of that's it. Matt Target left.
I just wondered, it was one of those, Rob. You're right. Diego Carlos came in. Bubba Kamara, didn't they? They got early in the window as well.
And he's been playing, by the way. Holding midfield. He's been playing.
Holding midfield. They've been playing, Marseille. Has done a decent job. And then I was reading a little bit on Villa, and there's talk like, well, if Buendia finished the season quite well, gives them options with Coutinho, Leon Bailey getting fit and being a player is another who can come in.
Robin, really, really good in pre-season, Robin.
Pre-season.
If the season starts tomorrow, he's playing. Correct. So he's had a brilliant pre-season.
So, you know, these players there, and then the Watkins and Ings combination, there's enough there. And, you know, Steve will want to get off to a good start. I talked about it's an ambitious club. They play newly promoted Bournemouth their first game away at Bournemouth, the first game. So that does give them a chance. One thing I wanted to mention, mate, and again, is you do a little bit of research and it came up with a conversation with a friend of mine. Steven Gerrard loses Michael Beale, who was his assistant, who's been with him at Rangers, at Villa, and is very close to Stevie, and I know works very hard and has a big say in things. Michael Beale's just gone off to have his first job as Queen's Park Rangers manager. Oh.
I didn't know that.
And he's taken Alex Critchley, who was at Liverpool. He went to be Blackpool manager recently, and then he's come in now to be his number two to fill that Michael Beale role. But Michael Beale's been with Steven Gerrard on all these. They worked together in Liverpool Academy. He took him with him to Rangers. He took him with him to Villa. Just might be a one of those, Rob. Well, we'll just wait and see. You know how that relationship works with Critchley. Does he have the same influence with Gerrard? So just one out of his backroom staff that's missing. That's just something that Steve's got to move on from and make sure. But I just sense that Stevie Gerrard is going to get this team fired up. He'll have had a good pre-season. He'll have got a few of these messages over. And I think like the little rattle to Tyrone Mings, be the best centre-back you can be, because no one's going to be guaranteed a spot in this team.
Just one comment before we move on to the other two teams in this section, Rob. You know, the last question about who will make the most noise outside the big six. I don't rule Villa out of that. I don't rule Villa out of having a good season, and they can get in amongst the Leicesters and the Newcastles and maybe the West Ham Uniteds. That's why they want to be in the top eight in Villa. So I know that we haven't talked about them in that section. Mm. You know, for me, they're still a bit of a dark horse to challenge a little higher up in the league. Everton, are they likely to rebound this season?
I'm not so sure, my friend, unfortunately. I think... We saw what we saw last year. They lose Richarlison. They've got in Dwight McNeil's coming from Burnley as a latest signing. They got James Tarkowski from Burnley, which is good business on a free. They've lost the likes of Richarlison, Fabian Delph, one or two others who weren't making the first team anyway. My worry for Everton, Rob, is, and you know, a bit like Stevie G, Frank Lampard's all had a pre-season, so he's had a chance to work. I just don't quite know what Everton are, how they're playing. What are they with the ball? What are they without the ball? What? You know, we saw the emotional responses to staying in the league. That was brilliant. But that isn't going to be every week football. What are Everton and how are they going to really get the results?
Right. So I saw Everton as Frank Lampard came in last season.
Yeah.
And this is what he wanted Everton to look like. Oh, we roll out from the back. Jordan Pickford said, it's all different. Now we try and play out from the back. We're going more expansive. Well, that lasted about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. And then it went into emergency mode. They're in emergency mode for the rest of the season. So to further your question, I don't really know either. Because if it's going to be this playing out from the back, forget about it. Because that's too risky for the squad that they've got. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is everything, Rob. Is everything this season. If he gets back to the numbers of 2 seasons ago and maybe one before that as well, then
Stick Anthony Gordon in there, my friend. Everything as well.
Dwight McNeil, Anthony Gordon, wide players. Dominic Calvert-Lewin up there, your midfield of players that have still been there.
Decore, and
is Alan going to stay? So
Dele Alli.
So he's getting goals in pre-season, so he might be a number 10. So when you look at their best potential of a team, with Frank Lampard, it shouldn't be the same as last year, even though Everton fans will be super worried because Richarlison's gone. And they haven't done a ton of business. Again, another club that financial fair play.
They were
a nightmare. They had to sell Richarlison because of they were going to get in big trouble with the league for breaking the financial fair play rules. Yeah. So they were in a tough spot. But again, so you can look at that as a glass half full or half empty. Mm. The half full glass is that McNeil scored in his first game for pre-season for Gordon, for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for Dele Alli. You're going to have to hope that these guys. That's a good-looking front area that they can get enough points to stay away from looking behind their shoulder because that's what some people will probably think they're going to have to do again.
I think it's fingers-crossed football for Frank with his team. Not quite sure what you're going to get. Just quickly on Leeds as well, Rob, because they managed to stay up, not by too much in the end, but 17-38 points. Jesse Marsh gets a chance now to establish himself in the Premier League. I think he's won many people over with the way he's come across. I think the way he's conducted himself, the way he set his team up, the way he stayed true to what he wanted and got the results in the end. He's lost Phillips and Rafinha, two of his better players, Rob. His best player. So, he's gone to Germany and he's bought a couple of players from RB Leipzig and a couple of players from Salzburg. And there's Aronson, Ben Aronson, who he knows, an American. Tyler Adams, another American from Leipzig. Amos Christensen from Salzburg. Lewis.
The right back.
Sinisterra from Feyenoord. Mark Rocker from Bayern Munich. And Darko Gaibi, I think it's from Man City. Young players. Probably many unknown to Premier League fans. Many not played Premier League football. I think it's the manager's know-how, manager's relationship that's going to be important here. What can Jesse Marsh do? What can Leeds fans expect in this first season of the American in charge?
Well, again, it's another team that I think is going to be fascinating. But you know, losing Rafinha and Calvin Phillips, and I'm afraid Leeds United now are a club that. You know, sometimes their better players will try and move on. And that's the reality right now. Mm. Now, what's interesting is where he's gone for his replacement players. And all these players, I mean, you could say that RB Leipzig and the Bundesliga, you know, how much a jump up that is, maybe not. But some of the other ones, particularly from the Austrian league, the Austrian Bundesliga, like, you've got to come into this club. And it's an it's a phenomenal club. That's got incredible support and a big energy with the manager, Jesse Marsh. So it's like, what are we going to get? Now, preseason game, I saw some action of Leeds United in preseason, Rob. And Brennan Aaronson, the American, attacking field player that can play wide, he can play in the number 10, burst through on a counter-attack and played this lovely ball with the outside of his foot, Rob, right through to Patrick Bamford, who scored at Elland Road. They beat somebody, I think, 4-0 or 4-1 at Elland Road last preseason friendly. Feel-good factor. Brennan Aaronson was like £25 million, like $30 million. Wow, that's a big fee on a player when you look at his stats, look at his numbers. Yeah. I know football's more about numbers, but not a huge amount of goals and assists in that league that's not anywhere near the Premier League, the Austrian Bundesliga. But a lot of people like him. And Jesse Marsh worked with him before and likes him. So a lot of these signings go down to Jesse Marsh and his reputation, his career. In some ways, is going to rest on this window because he's lost two of his best players. They struggled till the final day to stay in the league, and he's gone with players that are a little, you know, a little more unknown. there's quite a few of them. The right back is an interesting player. I looked at some video of Mark Rockerov from Bayern Munich, the Spanish midfield player, has been out on loan. I see he's been playing in the middle of their midfield as a holding player. Tyler Adams is a player that when I've seen him, I thought he looked an excellent midfield player. So it's kind of exciting. This is the American project within the Premier League with manager and key players now. Big signings, big decisions by Jesse March. And I think, of course, Patrick Bamford is probably the most important part of this season.
I was thinking, that's like a new player, isn't it, to him?
Yeah. And given that there's a relative success with these signings, and given that Patrick Bamford can stay fit, and Joe Galhart, this young player that came in, I think they're going to have enough this season with that club, the atmosphere. I think they're not going to be looking at the relegation zone. I think they're going to be better than last year, even though they've lost their two best players in Rafinha and Calvin Phillips. Others might say they're going to struggle. Yeah. I think they might surprise a few and be all right.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I read a couple of things on Jesse March and what he was looking for, and said that, you know, eventually he'd like to get that four, you know, the 2-2-2 system and play high pressure, high intensity. He wants to have that energy, but not in the Bielsa fashion where it's everybody running forward and people leaving gaps and not picking up. So there's definitely a tactical edge to the way he wants to play. I think he wants to be lively and vibrant and a young team and energetic. Get the fans behind them, and he's made the signings. People he knows, people maybe he's trusted, people maybe he's got an eye for, Rob, who others haven't seen. And, you know, we've seen a number of times, was it Thomas Frank who did a similar thing with the Danish players who he knows who come into Brentford and did particularly well for him. So, yeah, I think there's things to look forward to for Leeds. I'm looking forward to Jesse Marsh being in charge, not starting the season under the pressure that he wanted, that he took the job on. And just being able to influence games and put his team out. So, lots to look forward for Leeds United on that one. But, yeah, we'll probably say Aston Villa will be the team who will probably look to bounce back, rebounce after that disappointing season.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moving on to question five, mate. We'll make this one just a quick line on the team.
No, these are questions. Before we get into question five, these are just a few rapid-fire thoughts on other clubs before we get into the newly promoted teams, which is question number five. So a quick thought on Brighton, Rob. I mean, done very little in terms of the signings. They've lost Ibrahim Suma, of course, to Tottenham Hotspur.
Correa could go to Chelsea, couldn't he now?
I love the manager, Graham Potter. It could lose a couple of his better players.
Won't go down, Rob. We'll have good days against some of the big teams and the way they play with the manager. Holding on to some top talents is important. Holding on to the manager for me is important with this football club, Rob, because he's destined for bigger things.
Okay, Wolverhampton Wanderers, 10th last season.
Yeah.
I think we both like Bruno Lage, what he's done. Again, if you look at what they've done in the window, Hee Chang Wan signed permanently from Leipzig for 10 million. Other than that, Nathan Collins from Burnley, they nicked one of the Burnley players. Burnley got a little bit. Fabio Silva went out on loan, Rob, to Anderlecht, the player that was a fortune. So again, these are clubs that are in this section of, Wolves haven't really done a lot in the market. I think they're good enough to not worry.
Defensively strong, right? But I looked at the goals, 38 goals and 36 goals the last two seasons. I mean, they've done remarkably well to be, you know, middle of the table with the amount of goals. And only the bottom three scored less in the Premier League last season than Wolves.
So we're going to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, Sergio Vieira.
Yes.
The job they did last year, really, really impressive job. Mm-hmm. A lot of good young players, lots of things to build on from last year. Again, looking at the market, they brought in Cech Doucouré from Lens, £21 million pounds. It's a good amount of money. Again, I run some stats and the video on him. Looks a really good central defensive-minded midfield player.
Yeah.
You know, a player that they needed for that position. I think they've let a couple of players go in that spot. Who else did they bring in?
They brought in the kid...
they brought in Chris Sam Richards. Johnson. And Chris Richards, the American kid from Bayern Munich.
Yeah, from Bayern Munich, yeah.
Again, an incredibly interesting story, Rob. I read a big article, I think it was in The Athletic, of Chris Richards. And his story from Dallas and from being rejected and going back to Dallas and then getting picked up by Bayern Munich and playing in a team and going out on loan and now going to Crystal Palace. A centre-back that's got, you know, upside. That's exciting. Super exciting upside. He's going to be arriving in South London at Crystal Palace. Can he? And that's why sometimes these players, when you don't know how high they can go, let's see. Let's see how Chris Richards is your opportunity. Like, wow, what a story.
Exciting things.
Yeah.
Like, exciting things about this Palace team, Robert. And you know, think about 2 years ago, the Roy Hodgson team and the age and where the team were. You got the Eze's and the Elise's and Gouye and Tariq Mitchell and Richards and, you know, Will Zaha now, who's the older statesman of those things. Yeah. You know, and Patrick's got something going there. It's interesting you talked about it. I've got obviously contacts at Palace. He's very into stats, you know, very into numbers, very into possession. And they're one of the teams who've turned their possession around most in the Premier League over the last 12 months in terms of a team that didn't really want the ball and would sit back and just count, to a team now want possession and will work it and create chances. And that's a credit to him and to Patrick and his staff that I think he's changed the outlook of Crystal Palace. No longer a Palace a bit like, you know, a bit of a boring team. I think Palace are a really good watch, mate, with lots of potential amongst this team with some really good players.
The only, of course, bad part is Conor Gallagher. Conor Gallagher, has gone back to Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was such an inspirational figure, such an important player in a lot of games for Palace in terms of drive and energy and pressing and scoring and running forward, which Chelsea, I think, should use and probably will use this season.
Yeah.
Aboutche Eze, Robbie Earl, is the player that's going to play in that spot. In that three-man midfield, Eze is going to be the man. And again, looking at a few clips in pre-season, he looks in great form. Had injury issues last year. Yeah. So there's a little bit of swings and roundabouts. They're going to get Eze for the full season. Elise, the bright French player on the right-hand side, is probably going to be more prominent. And they've got a little bit of rotation with Mateta and Benteke and IU, et cetera. So, yeah. I just think it'd be another season to try and take it forward. But, I mean, they were solid last year. But Conor Gallagher is, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? You get in these great loans and do so well, then the season after, you're going to lose them. So Crystal Palace, I think, is... and there's still time. You know, they still might bring somebody else in the window. Next team is Brentford, 13th last season. Sheffield United and Leeds, Rob, over recent seasons, examples of sophomore slumps. What do you think about Brentford?
I think they're okay. Frank will be fine. Thomas Frank will be fine, my friend. I mean, there's a lot of talk of, obviously, that Eriksen's left the football club, was so influential in the second part of the season. But Brentford started without him and played well. What I like about this Brentford team is they can do it in different ways. They can play direct up to the front guys if they need to. They can play out from the back. They've got good control. The likes of Norwood, who can knit things together. They can sit back and hit you with a bit of counter-attack. I think there's these different ways they can go into games to hurt opposition. I think there's good players there who will value their time in the Premier League, first time in the Premier League for the football club. Many of the players for the first time. I don't think there'll be any of those what we used to call big time Charlie, people who, you know, second time now think that they've made it. Decent signings as well. Ben Mee is a great bit of business, Rob. I think we both like him.
Yeah.
There's a young kid, Hickey, who's come in as well, I think can play at either fullback position. And a kid, Lewis Porter from Hull, who's a quick dribbling type of player who might come in and just make things happen for Brentford in the attacking areas of the pitch. So, Thomas Frank, I like the way he goes about his business. I like his work. I like his versatility of his team. Don't think they'll be challenging, you know, in the top six, but don't think they'll be anywhere challenging near the bottom six either.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more worried, Rob, with that second season. Keane Lewis Potter, £20 million he is from
Hull. But he's got a lot of good reputation. Yeah, he looks decent. Good reputation, one or two after him.
Yeah, so I think that's looks like a player that could excite the fans a little bit. But I just think we're going to move on to the three teams promoted. But I think Brentford got to be a bit careful. And I like Mbono. I like Ivan Toney, of course, up front, and the midfield is decent. But I think they might have a harder time of it. Ericsson came in, Rob, and they were, I think they lost about 8 or 9 games on a spin. He came in and changed things around a little bit. So, yeah, I'm a little worried for Brentford. And last one of these, before we get on to the final question about the promoted team, Southampton, 15th last season, not a ton of business. I'm a bit worried about Southampton, Rob, this season, given where they were last year. I tipped them to go down last year, which they didn't, but they had Armando Broja, and he was a big part of why they didn't get relegated. He's now, of course, gone back to Chelsea. I look at what they've done transfer-wise, and I don't see a ton of players to get super excited about. A couple of boys from City, Man City,
A couple of players from City, none who've played Premier League, but played Premier League 2, a couple of players from abroad, young players. He's gone young. Apparently, I was looking at the stats. The average age of the player he's brought in is 20 years of age. He's a 26-year-old, two 20-year-olds, 19 and 18. So he's gone for loan kids or young players who've maybe shown potential, not been good enough for the teams that they've left, which, listen, isn't a bad tactic. If you're a coach like Ralph Hasenhüttl, you think that's better than going for an old pro who might be a bit cynical and might not give you everything. But when things maybe start to go wrong, how will these kids react? Can they continue to stay together and get enough results? I think he's putting a lot of trust in his ability to coach players, which is something I like, but there's a risk.
But also, I think there's two things I'll mention with Southampton. We know that the new owners of the club, Sport Republic, it's the Moneyball guys from Brentford, one of the Moneyball guys. So that's his strength of recruitment. So some of these young players that we say, and quite honestly, we can't get ahead around 200 players that come into the league in one moment in time. But that's got to be exciting in some ways, Southampton fans, to trust the director of football that's part of the Sport Republic to make some signings. And one player as well that I saw a clip of pre-season, Joe Aribo from Glasgow Rangers Football Club, £10 million, scored a worldie in pre-season. I think, I don't know how many days ago it was, but he almost dribbled it from his own box to score a goal at the other end. Joe Aribo will play on the left, play on the right-hand side of the attacking line, will come in field. You know, he's still got your James Ward-Prowse, you've still got your Romeo in midfield. But Aribo could be one of these guys this year in the league, like, wow, who picked up this guy? So, again, I'm a bit worried about Southampton.
But one win in the last 11 games, Rob.
I know. Last season. I know. So yeah, they were heading down.
They were heading down. But listen, I like it. I like a manager who's backing his coaching ability to get him out of trouble. It's not always about the money, mate.
All right. Okay. Last question. Question five. How will the newly promoted sides fare in the Premier League? And whichever one you will start with, we've got Fulham first in the Championship last year.
Yeah.
Let's start with Fulham, Rob. We know that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to talk about the same guy. Alexander Mitrovic scored a zillion goals in the Championship. I think he broke a record, didn't he?
For 43. 43 goals in 44 appearances.
So why? How are they going to stay up?
Play him this time when you're in the league. Last time we saw games when he was on the bench or not playing or whatever. I know maybe at times he wasn't always the responsible pro that he should have been, but he's a goal scorer. A Fulham team, Rob, that should have learned from some of their experiences. An interesting manager, Marco Silva, who's now on, I have to look again on it, his fourth Premier League club. He's been at Hull, Watford, Everton and Fulham. And I think that's in a 5-year spell, by the way. who at times, I think, has shown he can be a good manager, can be innovative, can be creative, but at times has not been stubborn enough, not been strong enough to make sure his teams were resolute and didn't give goals away. Mitrovic is the key. If at the top of the table, the Nunezes and the Haalands are the key, he's a key, Rob. He's got to get 15 Premier League goals, plus the rest of the team have got to chip in. There's still some of the old names, the Cairneys, the Kubonos, who we saw last time out, obviously Mitrovic. But if you know, the euphoria from promotion, if the confidence from what they built last season can come with Marco Silva and one or two players who they maybe bought in, they maybe can prove they're not the yo-yo club that everybody's suggesting. Well, they come up, but a bit like Norwich, they'll go back down.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think Mitrovic's success in the Premier League, I know we had him before, but he wasn't really trusted by Scott Parker, who was manager at that moment in time. 43 goals in 44 Championship games is a record. Yeah. He's a Championship Player of the Year. Don't forget Harry Wilson, that got 10 goals and 19 assists in the Championship. Of course, they'll miss Fabio Cavallo that's gone to Liverpool, 19-year-old player. And looking at the players that have come into the club, Robert, Andreas Pereira, 26-year-old, of course, from Manchester United for £10 million. Pounds. So that's kind of interesting, a real technical footballer. And João Paulinho, the Portuguese guy from Sporting. Yeah.
He's got a good reputation. Him, Paulinho, looked a little bit at him. Defensive.
Yeah, he's 14 caps for Portugal. He had Champions League experience of last season. Mbabu from Wolfsburg as well. So it's taken him a little bit of time to get going, and they've lost a couple of good players in Anguissa and Alfie Mawson and Carvalho and Jean-Michel Seri as well left the club. So a little bit of change. I think they're going to have it on to stay up. It's about Mitrovic and the supply and that level. Can he get 18 goals? That, you
15,
know,
15 plus is a minimum. 15 plus, mate, gives him a chance.
He's got it.
Yeah. And they don't start. They start at home to Liverpool. Not always the easy place to start. But listen, they'll hope there'll be plenty of fans. I think they've built much of that stadium's pretty much now. I think it's going to be half full and then fully open during the course of the season. So atmosphere will be great. Fulham back in the Premier League. Can they this time find a way to stay in there? Second in the Championship, behind them as champions, was Bournemouth. Scott Parker went down to Bournemouth, was asked to do the job and get the team back up. He did, got them into second place, automatic promotion after, I think it was Jason Tyndale had them in sixth the season before. What do we think of Bournemouth and their chances of being competitive, giving themselves a chance to stay in the league? But Scott's had a year of experience in the Premier League, didn't he, that maybe should put him in some kind of good stead?
Yeah, I think of the teams coming up. I fear for Bournemouth, Rob. Mm. I fear for them. I mean, I look at their team from last year. Of course, Dominic Solanke is the main number nine of last year. Yeah. You've still got guys that were there before the Premier League, Robin midfield and Lewis Cook and Jefferson Lerma and Philip Billing in that area. Gary Cahill left the club this summer. I think on the good news side of it, remember David Brooks, the real talented wide player. He's recovered from Hodgkin lymphoma.
Yeah,
he's going to be given the all clear in May. So Scott Parker's being careful in bringing him back into the side. But Marcus Tavernier from Middlesbrough, a midfield player that's all right. He's versatile, can play in different spots. He's neat on the ball. Ryan Fredericks, I think, is a good pickup for right back from West Ham United. I think Joe Rothwell's the other player, midfield player from Blackburn. But is that enough? Knowing what they're going to go into to be competitive, and I'm worried more than anybody else about Bournemouth's ability. I know Scott's had some more experience, and he's a brilliant man, human being. I think they're going to struggle to be competitive, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's hard to disagree with that one. I just don't. You just look at that squad and think, is it capable of going week in, week out in the Premier League? Some of these teams, are they going to be powerful enough? Are they going to be athletic enough? Are they going to have enough possession, create enough chances, score enough goals? But that's true of any team that comes up from the Championship. And Scotty Parker at least will have 12 months of experience of what he did at Fulham. And you never know. They get up themselves off to a decent start. They're at home to Aston Villa for the first game of the season. So we'll see how that goes. The team that really interests me, Rob, coming into the league, Nottingham Forest. And I'm going to say right here, just like Leeds United, the Premier League is a better place.
No, it
Nottingham
is.
Forest being back in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, a historic club, for those listening to this or watching this, they were back-to-back European Cup winners, Champions League winners.
Incredible.
Just let that sink in, back-to-back. With a very historic, famous manager in Brian Clough. Brilliant team, Rob, that we grew up as little kids watching this team win European titles. So it's a historic football club. It's great to have them back in. Mm-hmm. They're not one of the big boys of English football, but in terms of that and the history and what they've won, then kudos to this football club. It's been a long time coming. Another club that's not there yet, Rob, just think about other teams that we'd love to see back in the Premier League is Sheffield Wednesday. One of the last, I mean, any other massive, you know, real clubs, Rob?
Maybe Sunderland.
Yeah, maybe Sunderland and my Middlesbrough, maybe not one of the big ones. But no, Forest, back in, they, of course, got promoted via the playoffs. They won the Wembley playoff, I think, against Huddersfield.
1-0
And they've been at it. And they've been at it. And we might need another hour's podcast, by the way, to go through their new players. Should I just reel off a few, Rob? I mean, I think it's been about 12 players they've added. Yeah. They lost a ton from the promotion team of last year. Mm-hmm. Players that are on loan that have left, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a star player, 21-year-old attacking midfield player or striker in Brennan Johnson. 18 goals, 10 assists last year. Watch out for him. 21
Dave
years John- of age.
Remember the old player, Dave Johnson? That's his son.
Dave Johnson's son.
He used to play for Forest as well, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so he's the star player from last year. But anyway, summer, ins. Jesse Lingard.
Good business. Deal,
Manchester United. Taiwo Awoniyi, Nigerian, 24-year-old.
Ex-Liverpool.
Is he what? Was he for a period of time?
Liverpool. He's a kid at Liverpool,
17.5 million pound striker, 20 goals in the Bundesliga. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting signing. In him. Mm. Dean Henderson on loan from Man United, the goalkeeper. Yeah. Niakate, a French centre-back from Mainz, was 17 million. You've got Bianconi, a French... I've got him as a centre-back or a right-back from Troy for 5 million. Mm. Nico Williams. By the way, £17 million.
Yeah, good business.
From Liverpool. Well done, Liverpool, getting that amount of money. Mm. Omar Richards, 24-year-old English player.
Yeah.
Was at Bayern Munich.
I've got
Lewis O'Brien. I've got Harry Toffolo from Huddersfield. Yeah. I've got Aurel Mangala, midfield player from Stuttgart.
There's some interesting names.
It's a lot of players, Rob. And all I would say about this, the last time we saw a team... I think we've seen a couple of them. Fulham, Swansea, I think, Rob.
Yeah. Sunderland did it as well when Di Canio was there.
A ton of new players. It didn't work out. But there's so many players there. And I think that the manager, Steve Cooper, isn't it?
Steve Cooper, yeah. And I want to talk about him a little bit, Rob, just before we close. What Steve Cooper will do, and again, you know, you try and keep it the best teams. Look at a little bit of the teams in... You know, he'll probably go with Johnson up top with Lingard
on
Brabham.
He's got a ton of play. Who knows? I have no idea who's going to play.
I saw some previews of how they might look, and it doesn't look bad, mate. I tell you, he'll probably go for a 3-4-1 with two strikers. Steve Cooper's somebody who I got to know a little bit and I've followed his career. Was it got taken in at Swansea where he really got his first opportunity? Came in late at Swansea when things weren't doing well and got them to two playoffs, didn't quite make it, ends up coming to Forest. They were bottom of the table, Rob. Lost 6 or 7 when he'd taken over. Yeah. Ends up finishing fourth, ends up getting them in the playoffs. The rest of the show is history. He's also was a young coach with the England under-16s, under-17s. That's when I got to first hear about him. Yeah. And he had the Fodens and the Hudson-Odois and the Jadon Sanchos and all that, and won the under-17 World Cup with that group. And there was a lot of talk about how good a coach is, what a good man manager is, how he gets the groups together. And so that's why I think he won't be worried about bringing in these players. Not the young players who I think he likes to influence and mould and grow into mature into better pros, better players. But I'm really delighted for him. I think because of the way he works, he's very open. He has a good relationship with his players. He won't get carried away if things go well or things go badly. He's got a good sense of what purpose is. I got a feeling Nottingham Forest might just stay up this year. A bit like Brentford last season. The team who came up the playoffs were better than the two teams who got the automatic spots. Yeah. I'm going for a similar situation this year.
Well, of the three, they're certainly harder to read.
Given
the way the team could look. It's Greek ownership there, Rob. The Greeks have done a great job. They've put money in. They promised
big money in it. Yeah.
We're gonna go for this. We're not going to just go there and make up the numbers. Mm. And fair play to them. It's Americanis, I think, the family.
Yeah.
Onarkis, Evangelis Marinakis is the... I think he owns Olympiacos as well, Rob. I did a little bit of research on him.
Yeah.
There's a minority owner as well, another Greek family. I'll tell you what's a random side note, Rob, which is pretty interesting. The CEO of this football club is an American former MLS player.
I did see that. There's about two or three American CEOs coming into English football now.
Yeah, he played MLS, DC United. Mm. He played in the German second division. I think he went back as a New York Cosmos scout. Then he's a technical director at Real Salt Lake in MLS. Mm. And he's a technical director at DC United. He then randomly... I don't know what the link was. He went to be CEO at Barnsley Football Club in England. And I guess he did a really good job. And then he turned into the CEO at Nottingham Forest in July 2021 in charge of recruitment. And he's made a ton of good signings.
Yeah,
if you look at the boards and stuff that the comments of Forest season from last year, he gets a ton of credit.
Yeah.
But like, as soon as he came to the club, like, he made a lot of good recruitment. So, what a good story that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it could be a good story for Nottingham Forest, Rob. I just, as I say, I sense of the three teams coming up, Nottingham Forest could have the best chance of survival for me.
To finish off this podcast, Rob, I think we've reached the end now. Let's have a little take about relegation, because I think this could be one of the, I guess, rare years. I think, right, that the ones... other than the promoted teams, maybe have just done enough to improve and to tweak and to add to avoid it. I think the three promoted teams are the most likely, in my opinion, to be relegated. I think they're going to find it very difficult to stay up, the three new teams.
Yeah, and listen, that's always the thought that when they come up, will they do enough, how difficult it is to come in the Premier League. I'm hating myself for doing it, think Southampton might end up down there.
They might slide down there.
They were on a bad slide at the end of last season. There's no Brozier. Yes, he's brought in some young names, and yes, he will believe in what he'll do. Just a little bit worried about Southampton, mate. I think it might be 1 year too many.
Okay.
And you think Forest might be the one. I think they could start well, might have a dip, come good again. As you said, an owner will get to Christmas, and if they need to, I think he'll spend money to try and go again. I'm not so sure. The Bournemouth will, Fulham, we're never quite so sure. So, I'm going for Southampton, Fulham, and Bournemouth, my bottom three.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna stick with the newly promoted teams. But that's it, mate. I think that's about 90 minutes.
Sure. That's a good night. First 90 minutes of the season. We'll need a massage and rub before then. But hopefully we've got the juices running as you look forward to the new Premier League season. It kicks off on Friday night with Palace hosting Arsenal at Selhurst Park. Then the games come thick and fast all over the weekend. The big boys, they'll be hoping for top spot. And the smaller boys, well, they'll all be dreaming of doing a Leicester City. We'll be back on Sunday, August 7th, to get deep and dirty on all the action, all the storylines from this season's kickoff in the Premier League. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty. Together with the two Robbies, thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.